My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. Our study period today will be taken from Acts, the 16th chapter, and we will begin reading in verse 25. Acts, the 16th chapter, and we'll begin in verse 25 for our period of study on declaring glad tidings. Beginning with verse 25 of Acts 16, and we're going to read through verse 34. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. A beautiful story that we call the story of the Philippian jailer, who went from trembling as a man to trusting in his Lord through obedience to the gospel. We understand the importance of fundamentals. I understand that very shortly, it's going to be football season is going to be upon us. In this area, of course, we enjoy high school football. These young men will go and they will work on a lot of fundamentals. Although they might have been over them before, they go over them one more time. Several years ago, there was a movie called Hoosiers. Dealt with a basketball team in a high school in Indiana. And I recall the coach in the movie, Coach Dale, instructed them on fundamentals. The guy said, "When are we going to shoot?" Well, he instructed them in fundamentals. He instructed them on the basics, that if they got those down, they could build on them and outlast any team. Of course, they won the state championship. I want us to think about a fundamental message of the Bible. It is a question that people ask. They asked it then, you ask it now. What must I do to be saved? And I must say, dear friends, that throughout many broadcasts, you hear a lot of different ways to be saved. But if Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and that's singular, we in John 14:6, we know there is salvation in none other, only Christ, Acts 4:12. You and I see the oneness of Ephesians 4:4 through 6. There has got to be one way man can be saved. And yet sometimes you hear this one say, "Believe only." You hear this one say, "Confess only." You may hear one say, "Baptize only." But let us consider what the Bible says as a complete matter on what one must do to be saved. And I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, we find it in this text. It's worthy of consideration. Now, a couple of things that are encouraged to do is not found in this text. Just consider the thought with me as we begin. Let's ask the question. What must I do to be saved? Number one, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 31. Now, one must believe the Lord Jesus Christ. We're taught in John 8:24, Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And we also understand in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." However, let's ask one question. Is faith only enough? You know, there's only one passage in the New Testament with the words "faith only" together, and that's James 2:24. You see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And it is also interesting, in that same text of James 2, verse 19, the Bible says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well." the devils believe and tremble. Now, my friends, if faith only saves a man, well, we understand that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, so some type of obedient work has to be there. We also understand that if faith only saved, then the devils would be saved. When you and I think of the phrase believing on Christ or believing in Christ, it actually encompasses all about the Christ, His life, and His commands. As He said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So when we think of believing on Christ or believing in Christ, then we embrace all that He teaches. In order to have this faith, one must hear the gospel of Christ. Romans 10:17 says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How about Mark 16:15? When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the gospel is of necessity. And we note, how can one believe in what he has not heard? That's Romans 10:14. With this in mind, let's look immediately what happened in verse 32 with Paul and Silas. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So if faith only was all he needed, he could have said, well, I believe, and it would have been done. But they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Why? That he may understand what he is to believe, in whom he is to believe, and understand God's will for him. That's number one. Let's think about number two. What must I do to be saved? What about repentance? Now, of course, one may say in Acts 16:24-35, I don't see repentance here, and the word itself is not there. But let's notice again the answer of Paul in verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Ladies and gentlemen, if one is to believe on Christ, and again, that encompasses all about the Christ, and the word of the Lord is spoken, we understand that repentance was taught. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, nay, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Even Peter stated in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you. And so we understand that repentance is of necessity. It's a turning away and turning toward God. It's a change of decision resulting in a change of direction. It's a change of one's heart to something better. But number three, what must I do to be saved? How about confessing Christ? Now again, one may say, you know, I don't see confession here, and again, the word is not there. But we once again say, notice what Paul said in verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. If one believes on Christ, and the word of the Lord is spoken, confession was taught, for Jesus taught the importance of confessing Him before men, Matthew 10:32. We even see earlier in the book of Acts, Acts 8:37, where the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a confession that Christ blessed Peter for saying in Matthew 16:16, because flesh and blood had not revealed it, but the Father in heaven. Philippians 2:11 said, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, at this point, someone says, well, that's right, we should confess our sins. Dear friend, did it ever occur to you that only Christians confess their sins? 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who's He writing to there? He's writing to those that are walking in the light, if you look at the context, especially verse 7. To confess Christ, the sweetest words that could be said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But now number 4. What must I do to be saved? Here is a point that a lot of people will draw quick disagreement on, and it's sad. Be baptized into Christ. Verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Somebody's going up and say, now wait a minute, preacher, you said one ago, some teach faith only and baptism only. Ladies and gentlemen, we will never teach on declaring glad tidings that one is saved by baptism only. You could take an atheist and baptize him. You're going to put down a dry atheist and bring up a wet atheist. That does not negate or nullify faith, repentance, or confession. These are of necessity. But have you ever considered how one puts on Christ? It's through baptism. That's Galatians 3:27. Do you know it talks about how one gets into Christ in the New Testament twice? Acts 2:38 and Romans 6:3-6. And they both say you're baptized into Christ. My friends, we will affirm, and we will affirm publicly by debate. We will affirm publicly or privately in discussion. We will affirm from the preaching of the gospel through this program, baptism based upon one's faith, one's repentance, and confession is necessary for salvation. The scriptures themselves even speak of such. Baptism is what one does in order to be saved. That's Mark 16:16 and 1 Peter 3:21. It's very plain. Baptism will wash away one's sins. That's Acts 22:16. One will rise anew in baptism, not before. That's Romans 6:1-7. Baptism will grant remission of sins. That's Acts 2:38. And it's the same parallel of remission of sins in Matthew 26:28 when we find that Jesus, His blood would be shed for the remission of sins. When His blood was shed, the opportunity for remission of sins started. Same phraseology for the remission of sins. When one is baptized, one's remission of sins begins. And just like before, we're simply looking at what the jailer in his house did. That same hour of the night, he washed their stripes and was baptized. We can't deny that. It's right there in the Scripture. But let me take you a step further. What must I do to be saved? Continue to believe. You see, obeying the gospel, it doesn't stop there and it's all done. No, we must now grow in Christ. We must remain in Christ. We see in verse 34, He brought them into His house, He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all His house. His faith starts to grow. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And even to the Ephesians, members of the church we read of in the Bible, Christians who were redeemed by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1:7, He reminds them in Ephesians 4:21-24, how they should put off the old man and put on the new. There's no such a thing as once saved, always saved. If that's the case, take Hebrews 3:12 out of the Bible, where it says, take heed, brethren, those are Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How can you depart if you've never been there to begin with? You see, an individual that's a Christian walks with Christ. We mentioned 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10 moments ago. We mentioned it again. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. That's a beautiful passage, folks, and one for us to consider in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's writing there to the Christian. Why? They're walking in the light. They already have fellowship with Christ. That's a Christian according to the Bible. Back to verse 9, if we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My friends, we make the plea with you today. This is what you must do to be saved. Move on your faith in what you've heard. Repent of your sins. A change of direction results in a change of decision. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Be buried with Him in the waters of baptism this day. And then walk faithful to Him, remaining you.